Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in the Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And he found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that if they are the enemies, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that is, may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Our subject of this morning is a question. And the question is, are you called of God? If you look in Scripture, of course, you find men that were called: Noah, Moses, Paul, John the Baptist. Ladies, Mary was called to be the mother of God, Christ Jesus. Are you called, is the question. This word called is a Greek word, kaleo. That's K-E-L-E-O, kaleo, means to call. Dispensationally, if you look at that same word and it becomes past tense, it's kleis, K-L-E-S-I-S. Those that are called are referred to as kletos, C-L-E-T-O-S. Used 11 times, and by the way, that comes into the church of the one body's name. Ecclesia comes from kaleo, or called, is a past tense of the word. It means called out from. If you are called, are you called to salvation? Or are you called for something else? Called for purpose? Are all called? Well, we read that all are called, but few answer. So there's some indication there that not everyone is called as such. And here this morning, I want to look at this word more from a dispensational viewpoint, a doctrine viewpoint. Those whom he called, he justified. Klesis, K-L-E-S-I-S, which is from the word kaleo, as it relates to the three main callings of God, is what we'll be looking at this morning with regard to this question, are you called? There are 11 uses of the word in the three main callings that we read about in Scripture. The three main callings are, one, the calling of Israel. The second, the calling of the early church. Now, the early church is that church that existed prior to Acts 28:28, where the nation of Israel was set aside. But the calling of that church where they had crucified Christ, the Jews had crucified their Messiah. So there's a calling there to that early church. And then the third calling is the calling of the church of the one body, which is referred to as a mystery there by Paul in Ephesians. First, let's look at the calling of Israel. Paul refers to this, and there's a section primarily more or less set aside for this. It's found in the book of Romans. If you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9. Actually, it covers three different chapters, 9, 10, and 11. So let's look at chapter, beginning with chapter 9. These three chapters are sometimes referred to as sorrow to song. Sorrow to song, because Paul is bringing forth his sorrow. And yet, by the time he gets at the end of the 11th, the third chapter, he is happy and singing about God's praises and love. So, in this 9th chapter, let's begin with verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelis, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israeli, which are Israel, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Paul there is bemoaning the fact that the privileges of Israel were missed. They missed this special calling that they had. And most of those privileges we see there in verses 4 and 5, they pertain to the adoption, glory, the covenants were theirs, the giving of the law, the services of God and the promises. all these great things that the nation of Israel missed because they didn't understand that they were chosen for a purpose. Adoption was to be theirs. The glory of it all, they missed. They had the covenant position with God. They had a covenant promise. God made it directly with them in the calling. When I was back in the prison ministry some years ago, we had a rock band that was Christian guys. They took them into prison, and the name of their band was the J.C. Power Outlet. Well, that's what Israel had. They had opportunity for J.C. Power direct, this covenant that they had. They were given the law. They were given the promises. As concerning the flesh, Christ came just for them. That fleshly blessing was what? We've read about it. The blessing of Abraham. Back in Deuteronomy, where we've read, God blessed Abraham in this covenant with everything. Business, health, they passed it up. Their opportunity was unimaginable. They were the apple of the Father's eye because they were called for a purpose. How dumb could they be? To get a better understanding of their fantastic opportunity and the position that they had, the possibilities, you can compare it with the Gentiles in the flesh. Now, we're talking about fleshly blessings here. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Page 1762, if you're using a companion Bible. Chapter 2, verse 11. He's speaking to the Ephesians, who are primarily Gentiles at that point in Ephesians. Verse 11, wherefore remember that we, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the covenant, from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The Gentiles, according to the flesh, were handicapped. Matter of fact, they were a total mess, if you want to know the truth. They were without Christ, aliens considered on the earth, as opposed to the nation of Israel, strangers with no calling whatsoever, no covenants, no promises, no hope, no law. They were godless in the world. You look at that compared to what Israel had, and what an advantage this nation had with their calling. And they blew it. They would not accept. And when Messiah showed up, they crucified their own Messiah. And now, they've been set aside. As of there, we read in the end of the Acts period, they're considered Lo-Ami. We've looked at that term, not my people. They broke the covenant. God didn't break his part of the covenant. They broke the covenant. They crucified the Messiah, to make it short. And they're not his chosen people. And that's still the position today. They lost that advantage they had. Now, I want to throw in a beware here. We also have been called. Don't blow it. Because it's possible. And I'll deal on that a little bit later on here as we go forward. Don't blow the calling that you currently have been called for. Now, since the Gentiles did not have a position at all, Israel's fall brings opportunities to the Gentiles. So let's look back at Romans chapter 11, where we were. Romans chapter 11. It's the third chapter in Paul's dissertation here with regard to the sorrow and the song of Israel. Romans chapter 11. And you might want to go back and read these three chapters. We don't have time to go through the whole thing, but I'm just picking a few verses out of these three chapters to illustrate the point. So here in chapter 11, we begin at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Paul speaking of Israel. God forbid, but rather, though through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. And we've talked about this, where they take an olive branch from a tree and put it in, you know, transplant it into a tree to stimulate it for fruit. That's what the Gentiles were to become, to provoke them to jealousy. Verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? But God doesn't give up on them. Just because they broke their part of the covenant, God's still good. He's good for his word. They've been set aside. They're in punishment, if you will, not his people. But look at verse 29 of that chapter. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God makes a promise. He doesn't give up on it, no matter what the other party does. He still is standing there with what he offered to the nation of Israel. Look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That's where we are today. We're waiting for this time when the Gentiles, the fullness of time for the Gentiles comes in. Do we know when that is? We don't know. I can't give you a date. But that is contingent upon Israel's blindness. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of the Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That verse there, all Israel shall be saved, that's the remnant. God, in all of the dealings through the Old Testament, there was always this small part of the seed of Abraham that was left. No matter where they were slaughtered on the battlefield or whatever, there was always a remnant of the chosen people that were left. God's covenant is valid still. Verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind. It's concerning the gospel. It's concerning election, the love of the Father. Don't get confused. It's not salvation. It's only a remnant that he's talking about here, where all of them will be saved. So then the song, as far as Paul is concerning, look back then at the last few verses of chapter 11, beginning with verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all. Paul's now happy. Oh, the depths and riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God, and unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Sorrow in the first verses of those three chapters to song there at the end. That's kind of in a nutshell the calling of Israel and what happened. The second calling that I want to talk about this morning is the calling of the church before Acts 28. It's not the church of the one body where we stand today, but before Acts 28. Here we find calling used in a different dispensation, and we find it first in Paul's early epistle. His most early epistle, by the way, is 52 AD, which is Thessalonians. So turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, page 1796. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Eleventh verse, Paul speaking, therefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Power? In that early church, did they have the power? Yeah, they did. They spoke in tongues. They healed. They had a power, absolutely, that God carried over from the nation of Israel's covenant into this early church that was both Jew and Gentile. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm not as kind to you as Alan. Alan puts these all up there, and I make you thumb through and find them. But there's purpose in that, by the way. Particularly when we had young children, I wanted them to learn their Bible. And so I didn't start putting them up there. It's a good thing to have them up there, and Alan always is good at that. So is Roger. But we started the other way because it was good to learn your Bible by looking up the verses all the time. So here we are this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're looking at verses 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. These people had power. They did marvelous things. And by the way, you couple that with Christ being the only one that could speak with authority in the face of death. He said, put me in the ground, 3 days I'll come out. He's the only one to speak with authority in the face of death. He came out. That's why Christianity has lasted 2,000 plus years, because of these kinds of things that this early church had. They were called. They made a mark on human history that can't be ignored. Turn over to chapter 7 of that 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. Verse 20, a warning by Paul, I think. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For if he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man, likewise all he that is called being free is Christ's servant. That carries today into the church of the one body. You are called to a member to be of the church of the one body in Christ, which is a mystery. Paul speaks of it as a mystery. Most people don't get it. The calling differs from that of Israel. There are in this calling two groups, Jew and Gentile, both took part in this early church. They were made one in Christ, but only in sin and salvation, which the Jews were, of course, the olive branch. They were baptized into one. To see that, turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Right turn in your Bible over to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That early church. Salvation is preached. They're baptized into one. But there's something still not the same as today. And what is that? There was the middle wall. They could not, those Gentiles could not go in the temple beyond the wall, the middle wall. That was still, they were subject to principles that the Jews and the Pharisees had put together, that the Gentiles, if you're going to be a part, you got to have this, you got to do this, you got to be circumcised, you can't take blood, you can't do this, you can't do that. There was about three main things that they could not do, but they were still grafted in to the promises that the early church had been made at that time. Grafted in to provoke the Jews to finally come around. Even after they crucified Christ, they're still being given an opportunity, but there was no luck involved. They still wouldn't do it. God's patience ran out. After 35 years, that's 35 years during the Acts period, after the crucifixion, this early church and their calling, after 35 years, the kingdom is set aside. That's what Israel wanted all through the Old Testament. All they wanted was a king like the nations round about. They wanted the promised land. That's what they wanted. And they missed not only the king, but the priest at the same time that was to be. So the nation messed up. The kingdom was set aside. The nation became not my people totally. And that's where they find themselves still today. However, another calling has come to be. The third calling that we want to look at this morning, we turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Beginning with verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's a holy calling. I've got a note here. I can't recall the verse, but look at Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3:14. It says 3:14. I just had a note of it here. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul, who is called a part of this calling that was known by God prior to the beginning of the world. He's all-knowing in all things. And he had this third mass calling. And this calling that we're speaking about has three distinct features. One, it's associated with Paul as a prisoner of the Lord. That was in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. So Paul was a prisoner of Christ at this time. This calling is spoken of as being a time before the foundations of the world. We saw that in verse 9. Was given in Christ before the world began. Paul was appointed the task to make it known. Look at verse 11. Of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And if you are called, that's your responsibility as well. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's what we have here. Those of you who are seeking to understand what Paul refers to as a mystery. And the purpose is to teach and help others to learn and understand what this third calling is all about. It is referred to not as a covenant, by the way. It is referred to as a good deposit, something that is committed. It is not a covenant. It is not a future calling on high either, but here and now. And we saw there in Philippians, I, Paul, press for the prize of the high calling. There's something involved in this calling. Those that are called have an opportunity for a crown or a prize. Now, a crown or a prize is not a gift. It's earned. Those people that stand in the Olympics and get their medal, it's not given to them. It's given to them because they earned it. And that's what the prize and the crown here is that Paul's talking about. It's something that's given. Now, we can talk about that, and we can get into that, but just as a hint, it has to do with resurrection. There's more than one resurrection. There's the first, the second, end of the one at the end of the thousand-year reign, but there's also one that's before all that called the out resurrection, or out from among. The overcomers are out from among the dead as well. They're in the first resurrection. That has to do with the prize and the crown, and we'll not get into that today, but we've covered it many times before. Paul says, stand fast, study, grow, teach, understand, divide. There's hope in Ephesians. In Ephesians, it's intrinsic. It cannot be won or lost. The hope is your salvation. But the prize and the crown may not come if you haven't done anything to have earned it. Paul made this a matter of prayer, as a matter of fact. He says that ye may know the hope of his calling. Ephesians. Look back at Ephesians 1:8, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling upon the nation, upon the church of the one body in Christ. Don't blow it, as Israel did. Your calling is to understand and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. And Paul says, look at the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Fourth chapter, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. That's not being a doctor or a lawyer or a lumberjack or of the vocation where you are called. You are called in this calling that was before the foundations of the world for a purpose. Don't blow it. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body, one Spirit, even ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above and all and through all and in you all. There's a lot of various and wondrous elements in this calling. It is unique calling, and it's characterizes the charter of the ecclesia, back to that kalilo, call word, found in Kalesia, ecclesia, the church of today, of the one body in Christ. One body with Christ as head, no Jew, Gentile, tied together, there's no difference. All one, no matter what, color, race, creed, female, male, no difference whatsoever. One spirit, one hope, with all spiritual blessings. And by the way, I don't know how many spiritual blessings there are, but whatever they're all, you get them all. That's good news. I can make song out of that rather than sorrow. It's in heavenly places, seated together with Christ far above all, for the purpose of demonstrating to principalities and powers. Can you imagine? And to make others see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Don't blow it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for where we are called. Pray that you would give us understanding, open our hearts and our mind, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you for this calling. And that we may all be here at the Bible Forum, rooted and grounded in your love. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.